So we'll discuss a little bit about the mitzvah of shofar. So we know there's a minhag, a custom, that already began in most places. Maybe in COVID it's been canceled, but the minhag in the month of Elul is to start blowing the shofar to getting us ready for the yontov of Rosh Hashanah. And among the Svardim, they even started slichos. They start slichos a month before, at the same time when we start the shofar. The minhag Ashkenaz, as you'll, if you are Ashkenaz, you'll start next Saturday night. We'll begin the week before Rosh Hashanah. So there's a custom to blow shofar during the month of Elul to prepare us. So there's actually as well the poskim, the rabbis bring down the custom of blowing shofar the whole month of Elul. However, on Erev Rosh Hashanah, on the day before Rosh Hashanah, the custom is not to blow the shofar in shul on the day before Rosh Hashanah. And then we continue on. This year we're going to actually have a two-day break because it was, as we'll see, it happens to be Shabbos the first day. But nevertheless, even though there's a debate, our custom is still not to do it on Friday, even though we're not going to do it on Shabbos. And on a regular year, so that's the custom, we don't blow shofar Erev Rosh Hashanah. What is the reason why we stop blowing shofar on Erev Rosh Hashanah, on the day before? Why don't we go straight into it, build up the momentum? So the commentators give different reasons why we stop blowing shofar on Erev Rosh Hashanah. So one is a more mystical reason given. It's ordered to fool the satan, so to speak, the satan who's out to makatrek, to try to to go to God and give us bad reports, how we're not doing well, we're sinning. So therefore, I guess the mystical concept is that if we stop blowing shofar, he thinks, okay, we missed it, Rosh Hashanah is over, and he'll go home, and then when the time we go to Rosh Hashanah, we won't have anyone testifying against us. Similarly to a concept we'll discuss later, as why we add different amount of shofar blowing on Rosh Hashanah itself. So the one reason is more mystical. On a more halachic realm, the commentators give a different answer, that they want to be mafsik, they want to separate between the blowing shofar, which is mandatory, versus blowing shofar, which is optional. The month of Elul is optional. It's only a custom. There is no biblical or rabbinical commandment to blow shofar. It's purely a custom. And on Rosh Hashanah is a biblical obligation. So we want to show a distinction. Now that up to now we're doing a custom, now we'll take a break, and now we're ready to do the biblical mitzvah. Like we find as well a similar idea, Erev Pesach. Erev Pesach, we have a custom not to eat matzah. Well, there's a custom not to eat, depends, people have different customs from a month before Pesach. Some begin 2 weeks before, but the strict halacha is Erev Pesach itself in the morning. So that's that's brought down the halacha. So why don't we eat matzah on Erev Pesach? So again, so one answer given is because since the matzah we eat all year round is optional, I prefer fresh bread or challah, but those who like matzah all year round. So we want to show the matzah I'm eating all year round is different than the matzah I'm eating the night of Pesach. So you want to have a slight break in between in order to show. Similarly, we have this idea as well, similar, not identical, when we have in the mitzvah of benching, birkas hamazon, grace after meals, that the Gemara tells us in Brachas that we know we have four blessings. The first blessing, Hazanas HaKol, Moshe, for the 40 years the Jews got the food from heaven, the manna. So we make, that's the bracha, has God sustained us. The second blessing is Yoshua, when he entered the land of Israel. Nodocha, thank you God for giving us the land of Israel. The third blessing is about Yerushalayim and the Beis HaMikdash. That's David HaMelech and his son Shlomo. So the Gemara tells us that those first three blessings are biblical. And the fourth fourth blessing about remembering the miracle that happened, Harugei Beitar, even though they were killed during the Bar Kokhba revolt and the bodies lied there for a long time, but the miracle that the bodies did not rot and they were able to be buried. So we do have something very interesting, strange. At the end of our third blessing, we say, Bone Barachamav Yushalayim Amen. Usually I make a shahako and you answer Amen. I make a bracha. And in fact, the Gemara says, greater is the person who answers Amen. So why all of a sudden here, by the third bracha, we answer Amen to our own bracha? So the commentators explain the same idea, that we want to show a separation between the biblical mitzvah and rabbinical mitzvah. We want to show the first three blessings are biblical. Ad kam, we make an interruption. Now we're moving on to the rabbinical. So similarly here, the custom during Elul is only a custom. And now we're heading into Rosh Hashanah, the biblical obligation. We want to make a clear demarcation, so we take a day off on Erev Rosh Hashanah. And as well, they also explain, similar to matzah, third reason they give is, another reason why we don't eat matzah on Erev Pesach is because we want to have the excitement of eating matzah, that we enjoy the taste, it's something fresh and new, and therefore, so we don't like having the same thing all the time, so to speak, we take a break from eating matzah. So too here, we've been blowing shofar the whole month, let's take a day off, and then we'll take the break from the shofar. So when we hear the shofar on Rosh Hashanah, it comes with the full excitement, and we make the Shachiyano. When you make a Shachiyano, you're supposed to be very excited and bring joy. So those are the three basic reasons why we don't blow shofar on Erev Rosh Hashanah. Is either a more mystical concept to try to fool the Satan that he shouldn't come down, send him home, he thinks Rosh Hashanah is over. And the second reason we gave, to show a separation between the optional blowing during Elul versus the mandatory blowing on Rosh Hashanah. And the third one, we want the excitement of when we hear the shofar, we make a shachiyano, we want to be fresh, so therefore we take a break. So that's the minog of blowing shofar during Elul and not blowing shofar on Erev Rosh Hashanah. Let's move to the biblical obligation of blowing shofar on Rosh Hashanah. So Rosh Hashanah is a biblical commandment. Interesting to note that actually you won't find the word shofar by Rosh Hashanah. When it talks about Rosh Hashanah is described as a Yom Truah in Parshas Pinchas, a day of blowing of the shofar, and Zichron Truah, to remember the truah, remember the shofar, that's in Parshas Emor. The actual place in the Torah where we actually talk about a shofar truah, how do I know what kind of crying it is? Truah means to cry. Maybe it's a human cry. We cry all the time. Maybe it's some other instrument. How do we know it's a shofar? So the Torah by Yovel, the Jubilee year, on the 50th year, so you don't work the land, you send the slaves go free, people get their homes back. So there was a biblical mitzvah to blow the shofar. The shofar we blow motzai when Yom Kippur is over, that's just a pure custom. And in fact, according to some commentators, it's a zecher to Yovel. It's to remember what happened when historically we did have a Yovel. But so therefore, we have three places in the Torah which talk about the truah. We have two by Rosh Hashanah. It says Yom Truah, and it says Zichron Truah. And by Yovel, by Yom Kippur, when they freed the slaves, it says Vavartim Shofar Truah. So the question is, how many times? What is the biblical obligation to hear shofar on Rosh Hashanah? So today, as we'll get to, the custom is to hear 100. We'll see if we're still going to do it this year. But in general, the custom is to hear 100 shofar blasts. But biblically speaking, it's far from 100. Where does the starting point come from? The starting point comes from, it says trua three times, twice by Rosh Hashanah, and once by Yovel, and it's what they call a Gzeira Shava. The rabbis make from a drasha, we have an oral tradition based on similar language that we equate, just like by the Yovel, we know that when the Torah says trua, the cry means a shofar cry. So too, we learn out by Rosh Hashanah. So it's a given, it's an oral tradition that we understand that it's the shofar we're going to be blowing on Rosh Hashanah. So therefore, it says three times trua. So therefore, I would conclude, if you blow shofar three times on Rosh Hashanah, then that should be a mitzvah. However, that's not the way it is, even on a biblical level. We have another tradition. We have an oral tradition as well, and it applies to Yovel as well, that before and after every trua, we have a tekiah. So the tradition is we have a tekiah, trua, tekiah, tekiah, trua, tekiah, tekiah, trua, tekiah. So therefore, it comes out on a biblical level. The first time when they started blowing shofar, whenever the first time they started blowing shofar was, they had 9 shofar blasts. When they were just following biblical law and that was it, that's how the history of shofar began. All there were, and davening is probably a lot shorter also, but all they had was 9 shofar blasts. That is our mitzvah min HaTorah. That it says trua 3 times in the tradition tekiah before and after. So that's 9. That was stage step number 1. Then we moved into step number 2. What's stage number 2? So the Mishnah tells us, this is pre-Mishnah. This is purely biblical 9. The Mishnah tells us something. You know when you should blow the shofar? You know when you should blow the shofar? Al Seder HaBrachas. You should blow the shofar during the Shemona Esrei when you're reciting the brachas. Which brachas are they referring to? So all year round, every day of the week, it used to be 18, now we make 19 blessings every day in the Shemona Esrei. It's different sections, the praise section, the request section, and the thank you section. On Shabbos and Yontiv, we usually have 7 blessings. The first 3 and the last 3 are always the same. It's the praise of God and the thank you. But on Shabbos and Yontiv, we talk about the sanctity of the day, whether it's Shabbos or Yontov. But on one day a year, in one tefillah, we add 9 blessings. So actually, according to the Baal Hamor, one of the earlier commentators, we actually made 9 blessings every Shemona Esrei, from starting the night of Rosh Hashanah, throughout Shacharis, Musaf, Mincha, etc. But our custom is we do it at Musaf. But actually, the Gemara talks about we add the 3 special brachas, Malchios, the kingship of God, Zichronos, remembering that God remembers the good, and the shofros, we blow the shofar, Al Seder HaBracha. So actually the Talmud tells us, originally they blew it at Shacharis in the morning, because Zrizin, Magdim, and Lamitzvah, we have a general rule, we try to do a mitzvah as quick as possible, even though what was the debate in the Gemara? Whether should we do it earlier, because we want to do a mitzvah as early as possible, or it's not a new problem getting people to shul. It was a problem in the time of the Gemara. They realized that Musaf, we're going to have more people there. So what should we do? So originally the conclusion was, and that's why some debate the custom by a circumcision. Zrizin, Makdim, and Lemitzvah, you do it as early as possible in the day, versus waiting to later on in the day where you might have more people. So originally the Gemara, that was the conclusion, we did it in the morning, but because of religious persecution and a host of other things, they had to move it to Musaf. And once they moved it to Musaf, it stayed at Musaf. So our custom is that we blow the shofar during the Musaf Shemona Esrei. So that was that's stage number 2. So stage number 1 was 9 blessings just in a vacuum. You just blow 9 shofar blasts, that's it. That is your mitzvah min HaTorah. Stage number 2 is the rabbis added, you should do these 9 shofar blasts during the Musaf Shemona Esrei when we add the special 3 blessings in the middle of the Shemona Esrei, the Malchios, Zichronos, and Shofar. That was stage number 2. Stage number 3, we're still at 9. The next step was from 9 to 30. How do we go from 9 to 30? So that came Rav Avohu, one of the rabbis in the Talmud. And he said, you know what? The issue was because the Jews were in exile and we were all separated all over the world. So the Torah tells us it's a Yom Truah. It's a day. Truah means crying. As we all know, people cry differently. So if shofar imitates the way people cry, so what happened, what developed over time was the tekiah stayed the same, but truah, what we'll call truah, but people cried differently. And that's how we know it today. We have the truah sound, we have the shvarim sound, and we have the shvarim truah sound. Those are three different types of cry. So what developed over time is different communities developed different crying, and they were still doing the nine shofar blasts, but communities were doing different communities were blowing different, the truah was a different truah sound. So what are the, so the way we do a truah today, so we assume truah is like a whimper, and the shvarim is like a groaning, and then we do a shvarim truah, a whimper, you know, and then a shvarim truah is, so we do the groaning, then, you know, then the whimper, because, and the Gemara says, why don't we do truah shvarim, because it's not the order people cry. But those are the different cries people had, and over the different communities were doing the middle truah differently. They were doing a shvarim truah, they were crying, they were making a shvarim or truah. So Rebbe Avahu came along and said, Jewish unity is important. Let's keep the uniformity. Instead of different, let's say you moved from one community to the next, we want the whole Klal Yisrael doing the same shofar blast. So what happened was they went from 9 to 30. What's 9 to 30? Because if you take every combination, if you take tekiah, truah, tekiah three times, that's 9. 3 times 3 is 9. Tekiah, shvarim, tekiah three times, that's 9. And you do tekiah, shvarim, truah, tekiah three times, that's 12, because there are 4 sounds. So therefore, you end up with 30 kolos. If you take all the different so that's how we went. So biblically speaking, 9 used to be enough. And then because of uniformity, we moved to 30. So that's a debate today. If one only heard 9 kolos and not 30, would he fulfill his biblical commandment? Because that's a debate on whether the Gaonim with the Rambam, on whether they actually, whether if you only do 9, maybe you're picking the wrong 9. Do you assume that all of them were right, but with this keeping the uniformity, or do I say maybe there is a specific 9? So therefore, the custom is today, even though according to some, if you blew 9 shofar blasts, any of the shofar blasts, you fulfill your biblical mitzvah. But based on Maimonides and others, so the custom is today, we should try to hear minimally 30. And therefore, we cover ourselves to fulfill our biblical mitzvah shofar. That's where the custom of 30 went. So 30, we have a long way to go. The custom's 100. So how do we get from 30 to 100? So what happened was, stage number 4 was, the Talmud tells us that in the Gemara, that you know what they instituted? We should blow shofar 2 times in davening. It's what the Talmud calls tekiyas de miyushov. The shofar blowing while literally sitting down, but our custom is to stand all the time, but the Talmud calls it the ones of sitting down, and tekiyas de mu'umud, the tekiyas when you are standing up. There are different opinions which one are which, but the classic understanding is the 30 kolos we blow before musaf, those are the tekiyas de miyushav, those are the ones that they added. And the 30 we do during the Musaf Shmona Esrei, that's the Mu'umad. So we clearly go from 30 to 60, because the Gemara says to fool the Satan, whatever, you know, a mystical concept to keep him off guard. He doesn't know what's, in other words, so to speak, is if you're going for a court case, and let's say you're on trial for murder, or not murder, or let's say you're on trial for something which is a serious punishment, it could be the court will put you to death if you lose, and instead of saying, let's have the court case in a month, you say, let's have it tomorrow. They're going to think, oh, you must have some plan of attack here. So we try to fool the Satan, we give him more shofar blows, so he doesn't know what he's doing. So whatever the mystical reason is, That's how we went from 30 to 60. And in fact, that's, I don't know what, there are different customs. In most Ashkenazic shuls, all they do is blow the 30 blast in the repetition of the Shmoneh Esrei. However, there is a minig svard and a chassidish custom that in addition to do, everyone does it during the repetition, but there's a further custom brought down. So that's how you get to 60, and some have a custom of blowing it in the silent Shmoneh Esrei also. And therefore, and in fact, the Sefer Aruch, we'll get to in a minute, one of the earlier Rishonim, this is an old custom. He claims, he talks about this custom. But the most shuls, Ashkenazic shuls, only do it in the Chazaras HaShatz, in the repetition. But there's some, so either at this point, either you're up to 60, you're up to 90. So we still have to get to 100. So that was stage four. So stage five, the Aruch, one of the earlier commentators, he wrote the first Jastro, and he's known also for many famous concepts, in one very famous one in Hilchos Shabbos, very pertinent, very important leniency to know. We won't go into it now regarding all this technology to know. But he brings down the custom of hearing 100 shofar blasts. So he says, where does 100 shofar blasts come from? Either going from 60 to, so either if you only did 60, so then you're going to blow 40, again, different places, but most do it before, in the Kaddish, after Shmoneh Esrei, before Tiskabel, they add the 10 blast or the 40, whatever you need to add. He says, you know what, a very interesting source, you know where it comes from? The mother of Sisera. You expect him to like quote some tzaddikus or someone, some righteous person. Sisera was not a good king. He went ahead killing a lot of people, causing a lot of harm. But what was the case that he's talking about? That on one time, Sisera went to battle, and the mother was waiting for her son to come back. And for some reason, but the rabbis tell us, it wasn't that she was waiting to see him so much. She was waiting for the jewelry, the silver, all the money he was going to bring her, all the spoils and the booty. So, but something deep inside of her didn't feel right. She was a little worried. For some reason, her son's not going to come back this time. And she cried 100 times. And all, so therefore, Aruch says that based on the Sisera, why Sisera? So the concept is, this guy, Sisera, a mother crying not to know if a child's coming back for more, that's the feeling we have to have on Rosh Hashanah, Yom HaDin. Mi yichya, mi yamus, who's going to live, who's not going to. That's the feeling we're supposed to have on Rosh Hashanah. That's why we go back to Aim Sis. Others bring down, it comes from that by the Akedah Yitzchak, they cried 100 times by the Akedah. There are other sources as well. Some people say a woman cries 100 times during childbirth. There are different reasons given. But the main reason the Aruch brings down is the one of Sisera. In fact, others bring down a custom of a 101, 101 times. Because some say we want to counteract the sister's mom crying, so we blow 100. And then the one is, we still want to have Rachmanes because she still lost the son. So some have 101 from Sisera, or there's another measure that says it's based on the gematria, the numerical value of Michael. Michael is one of the angels who was supposed to be on the highest place in heaven. He delivers everything to God, so to speak. So that if you count up the numerical value of Michael, it comes out to 101. So most have the 99% of, I think, Klai Yisrael have a custom of 100. Some have with 101. So let's summarize. So we discussed the custom of blowing shofar during the month of Elul, the custom, as well as the custom of not blowing on Erev Rosh Hashanah, either because, again, to fool the satan, let him go home and he shouldn't have say bad things about us, or to separate blowing of optional blowing to a mandatory blowing, or we want to have the excitement that when we come onto Rosh Hashanah, we're excited. This year we'll get 2 days that we'll really be excited when we hear the shofar on Rosh Hashanah and make the Shachiyanu. And then we transitioned over to the biblical commandment of shofar. And even though ironically we don't find the word shofar by Rosh Hashanah, we find it by Yovel, Yom Kippur of Yovel, and we make the Gzeira Shava, and therefore it says shofar trua. So stage one was the biblical obligation. It says trua three times, twice by Rosh Hashanah, Yom Trua and Zichron Trua, shofar trua by Yovel. So trua three times, I would blow shofar three times, but we have an oral tradition, also based on those verses, a tekiya before and after every trua. Three times three is nine. That is our biblical mitzvah of nine shofar blasts. That was the original mitzvah. Then we moved on to stage number two, al seida habrachas. We instituted to put it into a musaf shmona esrei together with the three special blessings of malchios, shofros, and zichronos. And that was stage two. Stage three, we're always looking for achdus all the time, unity, but especially on Rosh Hashanah. All the people, we were in exile, people started blowing different shofar blasts, trua, shvarim, trua, shvarim, so to keep the uniformity, so no matter where we go, Klal Yisrael is all blowing the same 30 shofar blasts, so we take all the combinations and we end up with 30. That was stage three. Stage number four, we go from 30 to either 60 or 90, because the Gemara says you should blow shofar twice. Tekiyas de Miyushav, Tekiyas de Mumet. So we said the 30 before Musaf, and then the 30 during. And some have a custom, Svardim and Chasidim, 60. I mean, they actually blow shofar during the silent Shmoneh Esrei. And you have, it's much harder if you have a big shul to know what's going on and to be in the right spot. And then from 60 to 100, or 90 to 100, we go from the Aruch, from the mother of sister, the feeling a mother has, that when she might not see her son again, that's the feeling we have to have on Rosh Hashanah, Miyichnya Miyamos. And therefore, that was the custom of 100 and perhaps 101, based on the numerical value of the word of Michal, who is the angel closest to HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the Kisei HaKavod. Any questions, comments, alternative speeches? Now's your chance. Yep. Fagi, I guess it says on it, yeah?
Yeah. Hi. Thank you.
Hi.
Just one comment. At one point you said that because of religious persecution, it was moved to Musa. I don't understand what the...
There was Xeris HaMalchus, so therefore it was there were different times where the Roman or different governments came and checked on the shul. So the way it worked out was maybe they came in the morning so they couldn't blow the shofar. And they took also the shofar they could have taken as they're getting ready for a revolt and the Jewish people are revolting. So they had to do it at different times. And, in terms of that, yeah.
Thank you. Okay. Any questions? Any more questions? Any more comments? Mm-hmm. Hey, that's great. Rabbi, thank you very much.
Thank you all. Thanks for inviting me.
Yes, thank you. I will see you again Saturday night, I hope.
Sure. And, what's the plan Saturday night? What time? I'm sure my wife knows.
Starts 9:15. Saturday night will start at 9:15. I think your wife is first. I think you will be confirmed that, but I think that's going to happen.
My wife's always first.
Sounds like a smart policy.
Sure. Okay, thank you. Have a good Shabbos, everyone.
Thank you again for coming. Thank you, everyone, for coming. We'll see you over Shabbos Saturday night.
Thank you very much. Bye-bye.
Sure.